What's up, friends? Matt King here, founder of the Rockstar Unplugged Podcast and owner of Rockstar Companies. And today, I'm going to record this podcast on a little sunny day walk. I'm one of my 75 hard, mental toughness. Today, I want to talk to you about limiting beliefs that are stopping you from reaching the level of your life that you deserve. So do me a favor, listen to these. Couple quick messages from our sponsors, and then I'm going to give you some tools that are going to change your life for the better if you use them. All right, now first thing I'm going to tell you is I'm going on a walk here outside, so you might hear a little background noise, and I hope that that's okay with you. But today I want to talk about limiting beliefs and how they're preventing you from ultimately achieving your goals and reaching your destiny. Now, I've heard people say, well, I don't need motivation. I don't need stuff like that. Let me share this with you. Zig Ziglar, arguably one of the greatest of all times at inspiring people and helping them learn how to better themselves in sales and business, said motivation is kind of like a shower. He said, you don't wait until you're stinky to take a bath or a shower, right? You do it every day to avoid getting stinky. Well, motivation is really similar because oftentimes we have, you know, hiccups, bumps in the road, things that go on in our lives that we, you know, can't control, or things that we can control, but we've made some bad decisions. And that leads to some, as Zig Ziglar used to say, stinking thinking. It leads us to get in this bad headspace. And when we do, we have a hard time getting out of it. And typically it's hard to get out of it because why? Because every day we're not quote unquote showering. We're not motivating ourselves. We're not in a routine of working on our attitude every single day. Now, I don't want to sound cliche and say things like you need to have an attitude of gratitude and all this, but there's truth in it. Tony Robbins said this: if you want to experience fulfillment in your life, true fulfillment, we have to trade our expectations for appreciation. Let me say that again. If you want to experience fulfillment, you got to trade your expectations for appreciation. Here's the thing. I have this conversation with so many people when they bring bad news to me. When my friends say, oh, let me tell you about my day. And you could, have you ever had that? Where you could hear in the tone of someone's voice, like, let me bring my garbage and dump it on your head. If you've ever experienced that, which most of us have, oftentimes we just listen. And we say, well, I hope it gets better. But I found that there's a strategy that I use with myself that I use with my friends because I care about them, that oftentimes can help turn that corner. And here's the thing. When you're talking to friends, if it doesn't help them turn the corner, at least when you notice the warning signs of them getting ready to dump the garbage on your head, you can stop it before it happens so that you're not internalizing their garbage. But what I do typically when I have a specific friend who I won't name, who every time I speak to this person, something's going wrong in their life, and it's never their fault. Let me say it again. Something's always going wrong, and it's never their fault. Now, you can imagine the kind of chuckle I'm having here, because we all know that's not reality, right? If every time we get a job, something goes wrong, if every time we work with a client, there's something messed up about the situation, sometimes we got to look at the common denominator, and that common denominator is us. And then we have to go, what's causing me to get these results, behave this way, et cetera, et cetera. So what I've started doing is when my friend comes with negativity, I just like with anyone else, I say, hey, I know you got a lot of stuff going on that stinks, but tell me this, what's one great thing going on in your life right now? What's something that you're happy about? I mean, the bad thing happens, you can't control it. I get it. It sucks. We agree on that. Now let's talk about this. What's good in your life? Because I found that when we focus on that, other good stuff starts to come up too. So what's good? Tell me what's good. Now, I had one friend go, I get that you're on this positivity kick. I replied, it's not a kick. Ever since you've known me, this is the focus that I've been working on. And that is focusing on the good and the things that I appreciate. Doesn't mean I don't have bad days. Doesn't mean I don't get sidetracked and fail miserably at keeping that positive attitude sometimes. But what I found is by intentionally trying to be positive, by intentionally looking for the good, I have a lot less bad days. And when the bad times come, the tough times come, they don't seem as tough. Now, for me too, part of what motivates me, what inspires me, is my relationship with God. I got to say, when you've got something bigger than yourself that you're living for, when you've got in your heart and soul, when you believe and know that the creator of the universe loves you and is out to do good for you, to provide for you, to care for you, it makes it a little easier in the tough situations because you can cling to the joy and the hope that this season won't last long. But I understand that some of my friends listening to this don't share those same beliefs. I understand some of my friends might not believe in God or might not know if they believe in a God. I get it. And with all the stuff in the world, I get how that could be a question mark for many people. But I'm sharing this with you because I want to share with you the space that I'm in. Because it's been my experience, when people understand the space that we're in, they understand us better. And then that can help them in their life and their decision making. And for me, I'll just share a little story. I grew up poor, very poor. I had a family who loved me. My dad loved me, my grandma loved me, my mom loved me. Sometimes they knew how to show it. My grandmother always knew how. She was amazing. My dad always tried. My mom tried for the most part. They just always didn't know how to communicate with me. It's just like I don't always know how to communicate perfectly with my kids. But growing up, because we never experienced any, you know, financial gain, any monetary wealth, I had these limiting beliefs that financial gain, that being successful financially, was reserved only for certain people. I didn't believe, I didn't understand it was something that we could actually work on and control, that we could actually all pursue being successful and being financially successful. Because I had limiting beliefs that told me this isn't real. This isn't possible. Because you come from nothing. You come from no financial wealth. And that's reserved for people who are already rich. The family's already rich. And so I had a really hard time getting over that hurdle. Every time I would start to do well, I would hurry up and spend every dollar I had. Because I thought, if I don't spend it, someone might take it. If I don't spend it now, I may never get to. I better enjoy it now. There may not be any more coming. Now, I didn't say that out loud, but in my head, that's how I felt. Because that explains the behavior on how I blew through everything that I had. At points in my life where I was up years ago when I first got a taste of financial resources. Matter of fact, the first time I actually made any kind of money and got a salary that was good, I went out and bought a Jaguar. Yeah, three syllables, Jaguar. I went out and bought a Jag because I thought, oh, well, that's what people with money do, is they drive a fancy car. So first thing I have to do, buy a fancy car. So I did. And guess what? I didn't need that car. That car didn't help me earn more money. As my buddy Grant Cardone says, wealthy people don't spend money. They invest money. Buying a flashy ride ain't going to make you more money. It might make you feel good. And if you're making enough money where you've got disposable income and that is a treat you want to give yourself, I'm not condemning that. God bless you. That's awesome. But what I am saying is oftentimes we purchase extravagant things because of our belief system, our limited belief system that better buy it now while I can. Or I need to buy it to show off to other people, because if I show off to other people, then they'll believe I'm successful. And if they believe I'm successful, they'll give me money. But friends, do you know that it doesn't matter what they believe? What matters is what you believe. Do you know the most attractive thing to other people is confidence? I didn't say arrogance. I said confidence. And confidence comes from knowing your products, knowing how to serve people, knowing you can do it better than anybody who competes with you. That's what confidence comes from, right? Confidence comes from faith. It comes from knowing, a state of knowingness, right? So hope and belief and faith in something bigger is what can drive and motivate and inspire you. And you've got to believe you can always get to that next level. You've got to get rid of these limiting beliefs that tell you you're only so good. You can only accomplish so much. Everybody thought Elon Musk was crazy when he said he wanted to do electric cars. Everybody said there's no way that he could mass produce them. And then the Tesla Model S proved that wrong, and the Model X proved that wrong. And then people said there's no way he could mass produce them in a way that would be affordable for people to own. And then he came out with the Tesla Model 3 that sold so many orders. People were waiting like a year after the car was supposed to be out just to get theirs. See, a lot of times people's belief in you is what you allow to shape your belief. But friends, let me encourage you. There is a God, creator of this universe, who said you're created in his image. That's you too, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? The creator of the universe, the God of the universe, said you're created in my image. And then Jesus, who came down here as God in a skin suit, said, did all these miracles, healed leprosy, cast out demons, helped blind people see, helped a person who couldn't get up off a mat, get up and walk. And then he said, hey, I'm here for a short time, but we're going to do even greater miracles. Now, I want to challenge your thinking for just a moment. Even those of you that don't believe in God. And though, you know what? I want to challenge those of you that do. Because a lot of times we talk a big talk of belief, but we don't believe in all this supernatural stuff. We think that Jesus only spoke in metaphors and that God only spoke in metaphors and that all that stuff was, you know, hyperbole, fairy tales that, you know, just help kind of guide us on a moral life. But let me challenge you with this question. What if it's true? What if you do have the power of the Almighty Creator of the universe inside of you? If that were true and you believe that, how differently would you live? What if Jesus was telling the truth? What if you really do have the ability to do supernatural things, to create feelings and actions that just transcend earthly knowledge? What if you're capable of so much more than what you've been programmed to believe your whole life? Would that change how you act and think? Now, I don't expect everybody that's listening to this to go, oh, well, I'll choose to believe in that then. And now I'm a superhero. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you've got laser vision, you got laser vision. But I am saying this. There's a spot in Scripture where Jesus' disciples, the sidekicks, the crew, the 12, they couldn't cast out demons. This guy's kid was throwing himself in the fire over and over. He said, he's demon-possessed. He's throwing himself in the fire. And your people couldn't get rid of this demon. And Jesus was like, man, you guys, come on. And he went and he cast the demon out. Now, Jesus did things like this all the time. Stuff that people didn't believe was possible. And oftentimes, when other folks couldn't do it, he would say, well, you just didn't believe that you could. Another example of this is the story of the storm when they're out in the boat and Jesus was out walking on the water. And Peter said, if it's you, tell me to come out to you and I'll come out there. And he said, okay, come out here. And Peter steps out on the water and he walks out to him. But a lot of folks like to focus on when Jesus says, when Peter looks around and he starts sinking. And people want to focus on the fact that, well, Peter had faith, but then he lost his faith. He didn't believe anymore, so he started sinking. Okay, that's part of the story. But you know what we forget to focus on? He had the belief to take the first step. He had the belief to walk on water. He stepped out of the boat. He said, okay, just remind me that you're you and that I can believe. And I'll take the first step. And Jesus said, it's me. Come on, step out. And Peter stepped in the water and he walked on water. Now, for a moment, imagine with me for a moment that this isn't just a metaphor for life. Imagine for a moment this isn't a fairy tale. What if it's actually true? What if you just have the faith to take the first step toward a miracle? What if? Friends, oftentimes we don't behave like Peter. We don't take the step. We behave like the rest. And it doesn't talk about them. So you notice how they're not part of the story. It didn't say the others watched because they didn't want to step out. No, see, Peter said, I want to take a step. And Jesus said, then take the step, man. And notice he's in the story. Peter's in the story because he took the step. What story should you be part of? What step do you need to take? What limiting belief do you need to get rid of so you can take that step? You know, oftentimes it just starts with making a decision to step and saying, I'm going to believe on this, I'm going to take the step. And sometimes we get scared just like Peter did and we have a misstep and we start sinking. But you know, the beautiful thing about the story is it didn't end there. It didn't end with him misstepping and sinking. It ended with the person that he followed, Jesus, the person that Peter was trying to live his life like and model his life after, reaching down and saying, here, let me give you a hand up. Let me help you with this. Let me ask you, why'd you stop believing? Like, you were almost there. How many times in our life do we stop believing? How many times have we been almost there? How many times have we been almost there? What if those limiting beliefs you have keep you from your what if those limiting beliefs you have stopping you from enjoying that life that you want? Friends, I'm going to share with you a story that's going to be a little far-fetched for many people, but it's actually something I experienced in my own life. It's a little bit hard to actually talk about without getting choked up. About 15 years ago, a very good friend of mine, who was the pastor of a church that I was part of, he got diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. If you don't know what that means, basically they said, you're dead. You're going to die. And they told him he had about 6 months left. So he was busy equipping us, the other elders, to kind of take over, kind of be ready to love on people because he thought he was going to be dead. The diagnosis was horribly ugly. And I remember we were all in my living room. And he was probably my best friend at the time. Probably he was. And I remember saying to the guys, listen, you know, we talk about this Jesus, this God that is a healer, does all these miracles. But you know what? We're sitting in a circle talking about a guy that's going to die that we love when we've got a God that could heal him in the blink of an eye. And why are we not praying over him for that healing and expecting God to come through? Because if we're not willing to do that, God isn't really going to come through. If we can't live that faith, then we shouldn't be telling lies to people and pretending we believe this crap. Now, some people are probably, oh, that's just blasphemy. No, that's honesty. Because I believed the stories. I believed that we had a God that could do all that stuff. And I couldn't understand why we didn't believe enough to take action. And everybody in the room was like, yeah, you know what? We do believe this. Why are we not taking action? What's stopping us? What's stopping us from praying over him right now for healing and expecting God to answer? And to answer with supernatural healing, with divine healing. So, friends, we did. We put our hands on his shoulders, and we prayed. And man, praying felt like weightlifting. But I got to tell you, it felt like it. And we prayed, and we were crying. We were tore up. Got a diagnosis of death. We prayed over him. We prayed for him. We prayed. We asked the words of God. We prayed. Talking, quoting scripture. And asking God to do all the things he promised. And recognizing the promises that Jesus made for what we were capable of. And what powers he put in us. Right? That he left. and the miracles that could happen. And I'm going to tell you, it was a powerful moment. Now let's fast forward time, about a month. Because he had to go in every month and get his reports from the oncologist and go in and get the x-rays or ultrasounds or whatever to show off all the tumors. And he came back after, wow, still hard to talk about. After the next oncology visit. And when he came back, he said, I got to share something with you guys. And it was pretty somber. And he said, I don't have any more tumors. He literally said, I'm in remission. And the doctor can't explain it. But there's no sign of the cancer at all anymore. Now this, my friends, it wasn't a misdiagnosis before. He had been in month after month. He was doing chemo and the tumors were growing. But the faith of four people gathered around him, the belief that taking the step could bring the miracle. By that faith, he was healed. And now he's like running marathons and living a good life, alive and cancer-free. Now listen, I know there are people that have prayed for healing that didn't come, and I'm not saying they didn't believe, so please don't take this story that way, but I'm sharing this with you because I'm someone who has experienced a miracle, and I still struggle with limiting beliefs, so I want you to know it's okay if you do too. But it's worth believing. It's worth believing again and again and again. Even when you get tied up, tripped up, and you start losing hope. There are people like me who have experienced things that say it's worth believing again. It's worth having hope again. It's worth having faith again. Don't stop taking action. Step out of the boat. Step on the water. Believe that the miracle can happen and don't stop believing. To quote the in the immortal words of Journey, don't stop believing. Because your miracle just might be right on the other side. And you might be stopping too soon. Listen, thank you guys for tuning in. I didn't intend on talking about that last story in this podcast, but I hope you listened long enough to experience it. And I hope that it makes a difference in your life because that experience made a huge difference in mine. And sharing it with you guys on today's episode, wow, just reminded me of a lot of great things that God has done and is doing to this day. Listen, no matter where you're at in your business or your life, you're just one moment away. Now do me a favor. Go out there and make your day and someone else's.